Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, angels and saints, kings and queens, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Glad to have you. Crazy, but glad to be here with you live today. And got to get you updated on taxes. It is that time. And yesterday, I think, was the day that you could start to file your personal taxes and everything if you got all your stuff together. And here to address that from BJ Adams and Associates is BJ Adams, Barbara Adams. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. It's been a busy week. Tax for e-filing started Monday, January 27th, where the IRS actually started accepting tax returns in their system.
Okay. All right. So, time to get a start on it. Don't procrastinate. So, I was going to ask you, what are some of the things that we need to look at that may be different from last year when we filed?
Well, number one is they changed the tax return again. They changed the whole form. In 2018, they changed the tax return form that they had never changed probably in the last maybe 20 years. So when President Trump's administration came in, they changed the form, totally changed it. So it was kind of confusing for, of course, people who were doing their own taxes as well as us that are professionally doing taxes. We had to learn all the new schedules and so much new things that happen. But one of the things that they also did this year, they have another form for just seniors called the 1040-SR, and it's for people who are 65 and older that will file on this particular form. And then the other form is just called the 1040 as usual, but they changed it, the format of that form as well. So seniors, if you're 65 and older, you have a brand new form that's just for you. And so it's not that complicated because most seniors, get Social Security. Some of them don't even have to file. But if they get any other income like their pension, or if you get any other income from a business, or if you get other income from any other source outside of your Social Security, you are required to file a return. So those are some of the things that if they get gambling income, which I had a client that was on disability, but they won, a large sum of money gambling. So how about the Social Security people took an extra $500 a month out of their disability check for a whole year? Yes, because they won, that money. So anytime you get an increase, if you're getting disability, which is not taxable, or if you're getting Social Security income, which is not taxable, and then you all of a sudden get a large sum of money from gambling income, which I know a lot of seniors like to go to the Hard Rock in Tampa and gamble or wherever you go, and you
basically
win
just down the street,
exactly. Or if you win a lottery or a certain amount, even if you pay the federal withholding, which this person had, the Social Security took part of their money for a certain amount of months, maybe for like a year. They didn't take the whole amount. They took about maybe $500 per month from that, what they were initially getting. So you
only
know, you
$500
just have to
a month.
Right.
Only $500.
Lot, you know, for fixed income. Well, that's what I'm saying. They could have took the whole, you know, the whole amount based on the amount that you're, you know, that you got the increase. So certain things you have to really be careful in regards to, because it's a lot of things that you need to talk to your tax preparer about, you know, before you make certain decisions, or once you get it, you got to go and talk to them to prepare for what's coming down the road. And the other thing that changed was we're not required to have health insurance. You remember before they had the Obamacare and certain type, whatever type of insurance you had with your job and all of those things, you were required to have it or you were penalized. This year, it's the first year, you don't have to have health insurance and you're not going to be penalized if you don't have it. However, they still have the Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care, it's really what it's called, but they, you know, they call it Obamacare as well. If you do, they still have that available for you to get. And if you do have that, you do have to bring that form, 1095A, from your marketplace. You do have to bring that to your tax preparer, because if you don't and you file, your money's going to be held up for I don't know how long until you provide that information to the IRS. Because what happens, and I had a client that it happened to, that they did bring me the form, but what happened, they had won a substantial amount on their gambling. They won a scratch off. And when they won that money, they had only given the marketplace the amount that they were going to get on their income, which they had gotten laid off from their job, so they didn't have a lot that they were going to be making as far as earned income. So they won that money like in January of 2019 on a scratch off, and it was a big amount. So when they got their their gambling income form and bought it in to me, and then they had the Obamacare, which they didn't call the marketplace to tell them that they had won this money, and they would have made adjustments with the insurance, because the difference the government is paying for you, you may be paying $100 and some a month, and then your bill may be really $400, so the government is paying the other $300. So what happens if you make more income, then they find out and you do it on your tax return, they take that money back that the government has paid for you, and then they take that out of your refund. So her refund went from $12,000 to $3,000 because the government took all their money back that they had paid in on that insurance. So that's why they want you to bring your form in, because they want to see if you had any adjustments based on what you told the marketplace you were going to make for the year and then what you actually made. If it goes down, then you may get part of your refund back if you paid in any federal withholding. But if it goes up, they're going to take part of that back from the government will. So it's just a lot of little things you got to really know when you talk to the insurance people. Let them explain. Ask a lot of questions. Don't just go in saying this and then you don't really know. Of course, you know, people don't know when they're going to win it. So that's something that they don't know. But they at least have to call in once they do and let the insurance people know I won this amount. How is this going to affect? Then they'll make the adjustments, and then you won't have to owe it at the end. They'll do it during the year. So that makes a difference. The other thing is alimony. If you're a divorcee, a new divorcee, because it started in like 2018, like if you got a divorce anytime after 2017, it started in 18, and you had to pay your spouse, whether you're the woman or the man, alimony. Alimony used to be where if I pay alimony to my spouse, I could write off that alimony on my tax return. So it lowered my income as well as lowered my tax liability. And then whoever the spouse that received the alimony, they had to report it on their tax return as income. So if you had all this happening as a 17 and back, you still have to do the same procedure. But if you started in 18 forward, the person who given the alimony, they do not get to subtract that from their income anymore. And the person who's receiving the alimony do not have to report it as income on their return anymore. So, but it's only 18 and up. 2018 year and forward. But anytime before, you got to do the same thing you've been doing. Okay? So that's major for people who pay alimony or they're doing their divorce decrees and making, you know, all these arrangements. Make sure you know what's going on. The other thing they're doing, I don't know if anybody's investing in Bitcoin and the virtual currency. They're asking these questions on the tax returns, so don't think that is not real, because a lot of people, oh, currency, that virtual currency, that's going away. That's not real. That's not anything important. That's not going to be, you know, the government is not looking at that because it's not real. Okay, the main question I have to ask everybody this year on their return, or to give me a note or some type of an alert that I didn't ask it, and I have to go back, because they'll penalize me if the client did have it and I didn't ask. They'll penalize the tax preparer $25,000. That's a lot of money that I'm not going to be not remember to ask those questions. So they ask, did you have any foreign bank accounts? So that's dealing with foreign, you know, currency from other countries. If you had any bank accounts over there, or if you're dealing with foreign currency, they want to know. As well as if you had any virtual currency, if you sold some, exchanged some, or bought some, they want to know. And the question is yes or no. So those are new things that they're asking about and we need to be aware of. The other thing is the standard deduction. It went up this year. So if you married, file, and joint, it went from $24,000 as a standard deduction to $24,400. And if you're single, it went from $12,000 to $12,200. And, you know, of course, if you're 65 or older, or if you're blind, you get an additional $1,300. If you're married, $2,600 to add on to your regular standard deduction. So, and then the other thing that changed as well, and this is very important for people who have heavy medical, if you have heavy medical, where you went to the hospital and all those things that you had to come out of pocket, pay for prescriptions and all of those things, deductions for hospital and doctor copay. You add all of that up, but it has to be at least, this is for older and younger people, because they used to have one percentage for if you were 65 or older, and then another percentage for other age, younger. But now it's all 10% of your adjusted gross income. It has to be 10% of that. The amount of it has to be that or over for it to even kick in on your Schedule A. So it's been a lot of changes, and earned income credit is still there, and that's for people who make, you know, like not a lot of money during the year and they have children, or even if you don't have children and you didn't make a lot of money, you also qualify for earned income credit if you made a small amount. You can go to irs.gov and look at what amount you could make and still earn income credit. They have the number of children and the amount. They have a certain amount range that you have to make to fit in those categories. If you make a certain amount over 60,000, you don't qualify for earned income credit. So people ask me, what is earned income credit? It's not for you. You know, my clients, if they're pharmacists and doctors, nurses, you don't qualify. So it has to be for people in a certain type, I mean, certain income range for that. You had any specific questions?
I actually do. Although you covered a lot, I actually do have some specific questions. And
okay.
I'm glad you covered some of the medical stuff because I'm already starting out with some of that this year, unfortunately.
And keep your receipts because I've had people that were audited and they didn't have their receipts. So keep all your receipts, even for your pharmacist. You know, you can go right to Walgreens or CVS and they'll print out your prescription stuff. But anytime you went to the doctor, the IRS is getting, they say they don't have a lot of people working there now, but they still doing a lot of auditing. So make sure you keep all your receipts. But go ahead.
Okay. First question is, I'm in real estate. And so those types of businesses where you're self-employed or independent contractor, and let's say you have clients, I know there have been changes in the past in terms of how you handle clients in terms of whether or not you're able to take them out and entertain them or have meals with them or whatever. Can you give us an update on anything for the self-employed and independent contractors?
Yes, that changed a lot. First of all, they eliminated or they disallowed. That's the term that if you got audited, that's the term that they would use. Oh, we're going to disallow this. We no longer is entertainment. You can still do the meals, and the meals are only 50%. You know, like if you pay $100 for that meal, you only get to write off 50% of that. Only if you did like a party, like if you did a big, you know how you have some type of get together and you may be entertaining your clients and you're doing a big party for a group, then you could do 100% of that. Or if you went out of town and you were doing business, you know, like I have an office here in Orlando and I have an office in Atlanta. Now, when I'm in Orlando, because this is my home, my residence, then I'm not able to write off my meals 100% if I take somebody out or whatever. But if I'm in Atlanta, because it's 13 miles away from this office, I get the write-off. I don't have a home in Atlanta. I usually get a hotel or, you know, something to that nature when I go there to work. So I can write off meals and stuff like that when I'm there. But entertainment, like it was a time when you could take somebody and buy tickets for them to go to a game and you're there, you know, with your clients. You can't write any of that off anymore. You can't take them to certain events and that kind of thing. You can't write off anymore. They don't even have that as a category for for expenses. So one of the things with businesses, though, I'm going to say this, I know I'm on radio, but I tell all my clients, you know, especially people who, you know, they may not be Republican, they may be Democrat, or they may be independent or whatever, and they may have something to say about the president. I said, well, you know, this is how I look at things. Sometimes you have to look at who's in office. Then you say, okay, let me see what they are doing. Okay, first of all, you know, this president is a business person. They have all kind of businesses. So, okay, maybe I need to get me a business, okay? Another thing I'm seeing is he has all these foundations. His daughter just got this major $100 million grant with the Day of Women. For women. Okay, so they're getting all this money for having a nonprofit. And I tell all my clients that have businesses, if you have a for-profit, you need a nonprofit. Every for-profit needs a nonprofit. Now you have money, you can write off up to 60% as long as you can justify it, of your income to charitable organizations. That is where you're lowering your tax liability. That's why a lot of those people who have all the money, you notice Bill Gates has his foundation. Warren Buffett has his foundation. You may not have all the money that they have, but the little bit you may have, you need to contribute it to somebody. That's why it says it's better to give.
Do you have to have a nonprofit, or can you just make charitable donations and contributions?
You
and
can
stuff, or
make
underwrite
charitable
stuff.
Donations to something, to a cause that you already, you know, are helping, or you feel favorable with that cause. But you may have your own cause that you may have some kind of, you know, like I have a friend, she had breast cancer, and now she has a nonprofit, Pink is Possible. She has a beautiful thing that she does every year with that nonprofit. But, you know, so if you have a cause, start your own and pay into what you're, you know, you feel something that you want to see going forth in this community or in another community. So I just push doing something that's already paying it to something that's already set up, or set up your own. But I always say it's always God bless the child who has
his own. Okay. I got you. I'm ready to go because I've been wanting to do something anyway, so I'm ready to go.
Got to get on and make sure you have a 501c3. And they have, and I'm going to say this plug in. You know, I do them for people. I charge, of course, but I do them. But they do have one that's real simple that people can do and go online to irs.gov, and they have a 1023EZ. But you have to be able, your business, whatever you're setting up, your cause, your nonprofit, is certain ones like churches and all of that. They can't fit in that one. You have to do the regular 1023 application. But certain ones can just do the EZ. It's a lot cheaper. It's only $275 that the IRS charge you. And then it's real easy to set up. You don't have to hire somebody to do it. So I'm just plugging that in for people who want to do it, and they don't have a lot of funds, but they can do it themselves. And once you set it up, people can start donating to your organization. You can get money from Publix. You can get money from Walmart. You can get money from McDonald's. You can get, or they give you certificates for food if you're having an event. So you get all of you. I have several nonprofits, of course, you know, because I know what I'm doing and I do this for a living. But I go to Best Buy. I don't have to pay sales tax. You can get exempt from the state of Florida sales tax if you have your nonprofit 501c3 exempt. Now, if you have a church, and you automatically, but I now have been telling churches to get a 501c3, even if they are grandfathered in, because I've had some issues with IRS about that. So get it anyway. So
oh,
what,
goodness,
what
I have questions.
About?
Okay. It's an election year. So donations to candidates and campaigns and PACs and stuff like that, are any
off.
Huh?
You can't write off anything you donate to a campaign, to anybody's campaign. That's not write off.
Okay. All right. I wanted to get that.
So, but it's not. And if you're a nonprofit, you definitely don't. You by law, you cannot.
You can mess it up.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to say, a lot of churches that did have their 1023 application or their 501c3, a lot of them dropped them. And the reason why is because a lot of the laws that they were coming up with, the churches were saying that it was not biblical to do those things according to the laws or the policies within their church. So they dropped those 501c3s because they didn't want, if you have one, you got to abide by the law of the government and what they got in place. So they didn't want to do some of those things that they were saying, so they dropped it. So I'm just saying that some things that, you know, you just think about because it's just so much happening now. So think about that.
Let's okay, I have a quirky question
I want to get in. Oh,
yes, go ahead.
Your last question. Is that about moving? You know, like if you move, I had a client that worked for Lockheed Martin, and they moved him to Texas because they're doing a lot out there now. And in 17 and 16, I had clients that worked for Lockheed. They moved. We were able to write off their moving expense or whatever they had to come out of pocket. They were able to write that off, and it lowered their tax liability. Started in 18. My client, he moved in 18, same scenario as the other one, but they cut out. You can't write off your moving expense anymore. The only people that can write off their moving expense are military only. You cannot write off your moving expense if you move, if your job decides to relocate you or you got another job and you move, you cannot write that off.
Oh, my God.
That was devastating.
So what if you're the employer and you're having the employee moved? Is that something that the employer gets to write off?
Yeah. They can write it off as a business expense, of course. And that's what I was telling people. You need to now go back to your employee and have them to pay your moving expenses. You can't write it off, and you got to come out of pocket with it. So to me, that should go back. And maybe some of these big businesses can go and make their say to the government, and they may put it back, you know, make it a law again that they can write it off. So I think big businesses, if we as little people can start writing or making our employees pay for this stuff that we're not able to write off anymore, even people who are like doctors or nurses or pharmaceutical rep that work from home. A lot of people work from home now. We used to be able to write off your home office and write off you paying for, you know, things that you, like your cell phone and stuff. You're still paying for your internet because you're using your own expenses now. You cannot write that off anymore. They eliminated that whole form 2106, where you didn't get reimbursed for those things. So now I'm telling my clients, go back to your job or your employees and tell them to give you the money, some kind of bonus or some kind of expenditure amount for what you are paying for, and you cannot write that off anymore. So that messed a lot of clients up that were all for years writing that off, uniforms and all that stuff. They cannot write that off anymore. And that was, I thought that was a shame because that to me came out of their pocket, but they can't write it off. It was a lot changed in 18, and it's still going on over to 19. So,
all right. I know you're supposed to leave me in a minute, but can you give me like a 5 more extra minutes?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
Two questions. One, volunteering. If you volunteer for your church or for a nonprofit or a trade organization or something like that, what type of expenses can you write off?
The only thing you can write off is your mileage. They have, so keep, you know, logs of miles. You can, they have a part on Schedule A, they call it charitable miles. And you can write off the miles that you incur from from doing anything. Like even with, you know, like some people have certain positions that they take on with their church. They may be on the board, you know, they may be leaders in their but they praise and worship, and you know they have to go to choir rehearsal all the time. They got to drive all the way to there and drive back. So you get to go right off from, you know, round trip, not just going. You get to write off going and coming back. So you could write off just the miles. You cannot write off how much you were worth. So what you consider yourself worth in doing
worth
that.
So much.
Okay. Yeah, you were. Everyone is worth so much, but they cannot write it off. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just charitable miles.
Okay. And then my other question is about things such as these cashback rebate type things. How does that affect your taxes? Like, for example, when you get cash back from some of the shopping apps, or you get, you know, you get certain rebates and everything.
Okay. Now, I've had people, I'm trying to make sure I understand your question, but I know I'm going to use this as an example. I had a client that was on this TV show where she won gifts. She won she didn't win a car, but she won like a TV, something that was worth like $2,000 or $3,000. And so she thought she won it, and that was it. She didn't pay for it, or she didn't try to buy it. She just was picked and won it. How about she got a 1099 from that TV show? Yeah, that it was something. She was on that show, and they called her out the audience, you know, that kind of thing. And so she had to end up paying taxes on that 1099. And it wasn't where I could deduct any expenses, because it wasn't like a job that she actually worked. So it was a gift or whatever, and they had it on there, and we had to report it as income. So if you even with your company and you get like or like you at the bank, you know, banks give you gifts for opening up an account with them. They have to report something as the value of that gift to you as income. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's your question. I'm trying to get a good understanding.
Well, that's helpful too, but I'll give you an example. There is a shopping app, I'm not going to name the name, where if you buy something, you can get X amount. Let's say the item that you buy is a dollar. You can get cash back, and you can accumulate, let's say, 25 cents, let's say, off that dollar or whatever. And it adds up, and then after it reaches a certain amount of money, let's say $15 or whatever, then you're able to have that transferred into, like, either a PayPal account, or there's some of those apps, another app where you can get gift cards.
Now, I think it has to be a certain amount, but I have to go do a little bit more research on that for you.
Right, because I know there's certain cases. There's certain cases.
They're
going
to have to report it on a form, too. They're going to report it on a form to you, but I'm going to have to go back and see what the it has to be up to a certain amount, and I don't know that amount. But yeah, you got to take taxes on that, because that's income.
Because I know there's certain jobs too. Because like this is a voting year, and I usually work during the elections. And if you make, I think it's $600 or more, then you get a 1099 or something. But you end up having to that does get reported. So I didn't know if it was the same. Like if you end up with let's say $600 or more, that it gets reported like that. So.
Well, that's where you 1099 it for like a contract labor, but this what you're talking about is like that may be a lower amount.
Like a rebate
on because see, like interest that you get at the bank, it has to be at least $10 or more. So see, that's not no 600. So it's just based on the type of income. The other thing is, and I want to say this to hairstylists and people who take Square or they take credit card, you know, for payment. And a lot of times they don't think that that income is being reported to the government. But anytime you do Square, you need to go and get that set up under your – it's still going to be reported, but don't get it set up under your Social Security number. Get it set up under your EIN number so that it'll be reported on your business. Then you can subtract it from your business expenses and not it's not on your Social Security number. Well, you can't really subtract that from anything because it, you can't commingle personal and business. So you really need to be careful because you get a 1099-K. They started that probably maybe about 5 or 6 years ago where they started reporting it from that way. So a lot of stylists and people who they just, you know, get a lot of cash or people don't think that they know how much they're getting. But that 1099-K, most people use that Square and they get a, they send that to the IRS.
So yeah, a lot of people are using that now. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
of those PayPal, Square, all of those people send that, report that to the IRS on you. So when you set it up with them, set it up under your business name and under your EIN number. And even that, you got to get a report or whatever and report it with your income to the to your tax preparer because they don't know if you don't tell them. So,
all right, I kept you 1 minute later.
Okay. All righty. So,
well, I appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me to come on today. We have so much going on with the taxes now. And if you don't know how to do it yourself, don't you? You may miss something. So don't try to do it yourself. Get you a professional person that's gone to classes. Because the people go to everybody that's doing taxes don't are not educated on the new tax laws. They just doing something to make money. You want people who know what they're doing, and you can go online to IRS.gov, and they have a directory with all the people's name in the different areas close near you that have taken their class, that have taken the test, and know and passed it on that directory. So do that. And you'll know if you have, you know, certified people. They don't have to be a CPA, but they are certified of completion, and they're certified with the information and successfully passed the classes that IRS have been given, and they know what they're doing. A lot of CPAs don't know how to do taxes. I'm telling you, they don't specialize in taxes. Because they can do so many other things as well. So just because they're a CPA doesn't mean they know everything. But you want to make sure that person is up to date with all the tax laws and have taken those classes. But IRS have them on their website. So go look on there. And that would be real important. Okay?
All right. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate you coming on and taking the time. And if you need information, you need to, we're going to post BJ's information on the Power Hour Facebook page.
Yes, I'm. You can go on my website at bjadams.org and contact me there, or you can call my office at 407-297-3700. And we'll answer whatever questions you may have, and come and see us.
All righty.
Thank you so much
for taking the time. Have a blessed day.
You too. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. We are going to take a break. I didn't take a break because she had a lot of stuff to get in, but we're going to take a break now. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it for good entertainment. If you have something that you want to tell us about that's going on this weekend or anything that you have that you want to comment on, the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arclitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on KHAM Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us today. The call-in number is 516-387-1944. Just wanted to make you abreast of events that are going on this weekend. We all know about the Super Bowl, of course, but Zora is happening now. And tomorrow we are going to try to have someone on the show to talk about the Zora Neale Hurston Festival that's coming up. Well, actually, that's already in progress. I think they're actually in the middle of a luncheon today, and then they're going to have the actual festival tomorrow. Then also, like I said, there is Super Bowl, but I wanted to let you know about Monday. Please tune in with us Monday. Yeah, it's the first Monday of the month, and that usually means Mortgage Monday, which is probably still going to happen, but the first 20 minutes of the show, we are going to have Mayor Jerry Demings from Orange County, Florida. He is going to be on the show with us Monday for the first 20 minutes. So if you have questions, please join us Monday for that. And that's going to be for the first 20 minutes. We're going to hopefully talk about, he's been going around to the different districts talking about transportation and getting feedback. If you have not given him any feedback on your concerns with the transportation around here in Central Florida, and God knows there's a lot of issues, please, you know, email his office. There's a survey that they've been doing, so try to track down a survey. But if you have a question, you can ask it on Monday. He's also, I know, been dealing with a lot of things with regards to fair housing, and also there's a new Orange County app that we want to try to get more information on. So please join us Monday for that. A lot of other stuff that's going to be going on next week, so make sure you tune in. But we are going to go because we're not going to belabor your time. And like I said, tomorrow join us for Zora. Next month also is Black History Month. If you have any events that are coming up that you want us to know about, hit me up on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, and we'll try to get some information on it and share it with everyone. But in the meantime, this is G from G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a very blessed day, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.